We're getting ready for week two, Washington State. They have an actual quarterback. This is going to be a challenge. We're going to start breaking it down on today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Badgers, making it one of your first listens every day as we're here for your team every single day, just continuing to build the community. Today's show is brought to you by Upside. Upside is a free app. Use the promo code Locked On to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. We're going to talk more about Upside later, but let's get into it, right? Hey, again, want to thank everybody for tuning in, making it one of your first listens. We got to start turning the page from Illinois State, from week one recruiting. Week two, right? And this is a big one. This is an actual challenge. Wisconsin should win, but this is not the ho-hum, cupcake, whatever game. Like ESPN FPI, the Football Power Index, gives Wisconsin a 92% chance of winning this game. Okay, so by contrast, Illinois State was like 99%. Like, so there's actually a scenario here where this is a game, a real scenario. Let's start talking Washington State. So watch some of their week one game. Let's start talking about who they are, what they have, what challenges they present to Wisconsin. Week one, they played the Idaho Vandals. Great name, by the way, for a football program. I've always loved their brand, even though it's completely Mountain West off the radar. They won 24-17, so not the victory that they were expecting. Not a big margin of victory. They struggled a little bit, had turnovers, they fumbled, they had a scoop and score. Idaho did. But the big story is Cam Ward. Okay, and we've talked about Cam Ward a couple times on this show briefly. We talked about him with John Garcia briefly. He's a player that transferred in, one of the top quarterbacks in the entirety of FCS, a finalist for the Walter Payton Award, threw 4,600 yards, like 47 touchdowns, a statistical savant at that level. And he transferred into Washington State, plays in a very air raid heavy system. He's a real dude. Like straight up, Cam Ward is a guy that is getting NFL. If you go look at Cam Ward NFL mocks, he's a guy that's – these are always way too early, right? I get it. All these mock drafts are insanely early, but he's a guy who's getting real NFL mock draft love. He's a guy that has generated quite a bit of hype. And we're going to talk about a little bit about him. Week one, he had three touchdowns. We're going to talk – this is from Brock Heward. You know, it's fun to see a quote about his week one performance. It was fun to see the new kid, Cam Ward, FCS All-American, not a pretty game. They only beat the Vandals by 7, but he's got a lot of Vince Young, Heward said, referring to the former Texas Longhorn and Tennessee Titans star. Ward is not as big as Vince, but he's a mini Vince Young. Came out of the state of Texas, played down there at Incarnate Ward for his low release, quick release, playmaking ability, kind of a littler, poor man's Vince Young. He is fun and electric to watch. So, yeah, like Brock Heward's calling him a little mini Vince Young, and you can see where he gets some of that. Like Vince Young was an interesting college prospect for those of you, for those of us lucky enough to have seen him in college before he got to the NFL and that star really got tarnished. You know, he was never he was a dual threat guy, but he wasn't the fastest, but he was athletic. He was quick on his feet, decisive, had a really good arm, quick release, a total winner. And that's a lot of what you see with Cam Ward. Very quick release, like a whip release, gets it out very fast, especially on the short to intermediate routes, slants, little smoke screens, those little hitches. Very, very quick when he knows where he wants to go to the ball. You know, if you give the receivers those 5-yard outs along the sideline, he'll hit that all day. That's going to make it tough. This is a Wisconsin team that at times has struggled against quarterbacks that can get the ball out quickly, can make decisions quickly, can move the ball and distribute it without that fearsome Wisconsin pass rush getting to them. You know, Wisconsin secondary has had some issues with those dudes. So, very good test here. You know, he has NFL arm talent. You can see it when you read the scouting reports about Cam Ward. When you talk to people who have seen him play, John Garcia among them and others, NFL arm talent. He can make all the throws. Good deep arm, can throw the deep outs. You know, can really put velocity on the ball. He anticipates well. You know, Cam Ward will throw a ball to a receiver coming into and out of a zone, you know, so he can anticipate those type of throws. Not the biggest player, about 6'2", 6'3"-ish, somewhere in that range, and he does, when you watch him a little bit, I watched some of the film at Incarnate Ward, and then I watched quite a bit of his first game against Idaho. You know, he takes some unnecessary punishment. You can tell that, like, there's a little bit of that FCS game that he's transitioning with to the FBS level, right? He's used to being the bully on the block, like the biggest, most athletic kid. And there's some habits that go with, along with that, that, you know, are probably hard to shake. He holds the ball too long. So he'll move around in the pocket, keep kind of delaying, which at the FCS level, or even playing the Idahos, I'm sure you can get away with. Against Wisconsin, that's going to bite him. It's going to be difficult for him to hold the ball for a long time against this Wisconsin pass rush and kind of keep delaying it out, right? Keep waiting for things to develop. Because Nick Herbig, Darryl Peterson, those dudes are going to eat him up if he does that. He takes some punishment. Like, he's definitely not a quarterback when you watch him. Even Idaho, that week one, doesn't always get down, man. He takes some hits. And again, that's probably a bit of a carryover from that FCS career where he was always the biggest, baddest dude. You know, so very big test, though. Really, really big test for Wisconsin. I think this is a great tune-up and a great opportunity for the secondary. We're talking about going up against a quarterback with NFL aspirations, a quarterback that's thrown for a ton of yards, even if at a lower level, and they're going to play complete air raid. They go 4-5 out. They put a running back in the backfield a lot. Again, watching them play against Idaho, you know, it's a lot of zone read kind of coming out of the backfield to Nakia Watson, familiar face. Nakia Watson, former Wisconsin Badgers running back, ran for 100+ last week for Washington State. Looked good. Yeah, he looked like a physical downhill runner, which he's always been. He's always had some problems with vision, anticipation, but certainly we wish him the best, not against Wisconsin, but he left on good terms. Once a Badger, always a Badger. But, you know, they're going to spread you out. Wisconsin's going to play the vast majority of the game with two down linemen, extra defensive backs in the secondary. And they're, you know, going to have to take away those quick hitters and then contain Cam Ward in the pocket, which if you think back to some of the Nebraska games that we've had, some of the struggles we've had against the mobile Ohio State quarterbacks, right? You know, and the surrounding pieces at Washington State aren't as good, but it's that type of quarterback, you know, the Taylor Martinez, you know, again, those Justin Fields types, you know, guys that could gain yards with their legs and extend the pocket that have given Wisconsin's defense, and quite frankly, Jim Leonard, Adrian Martinez is another great example. A lot of issues. So I think it's a great tune-up, right? Ohio State, the monster of Ohio State's offense is looming on the horizon. And you get an opportunity now to play a spread team to get your secondary, which is still pretty new. People, there's this weird juxtaposition, right, with Wisconsin's defensive backfield this year. And we've talked about it a little bit, but I think this is a good time to bring it up again. They have an incredibly experienced secondary. That is all inexperienced at Wisconsin, right? Outside, right? It's very interesting. Like Alexander Smith, who hasn't played yet, senior, you know, Jay Shaw, senior, Dort, senior, Justin Clark, senior, Joe Torchio, senior. Like all these dudes are really experienced, but they're all in new roles, right? Alexander Smith, if he plays, has never been the number one corner. Jay Shaw was at UCLA. Dort and Clark transferred in from Kentucky and Toledo. Torchio is in a new role as that lead dog, you know, and now we have Preston Zachman or Kamoi Latu coming in Hunter Waller's absence. So this entire secondary is new for this defense and for Jim Leonard with their roles, right? And now you're going to play this really super pass-heavy team that's going to spread you out, you know, force you to cover on islands, force you to keep eye discipline as the quarterback zone read, moves around in the pocket. I think it's a really good test and a really good growth opportunity, a really good way for this defense to get ready as much as they can for Ohio State. Right, it's not like Washington State simulates what we're going to see at Ohio State, but it's a good step up for the secondary to get, you know, cut their teeth a little bit. So I'm very excited for that. I think it's a big deal for Wisconsin to be able to go up against that this week. We're going to see what Cam Ward's about. This is his first big test. A lot of his NFL stock, people are going to look back at that Wisconsin game for him. How did he handle an elite defense? You know, so I'm very interested, very excited to see it. Good step up for Wisconsin. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Washington State defense, the betting lines, where you think this game's going to go, and some depth chart news and additions for Wisconsin coming up next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by Upside. Listen, we all have felt this pain, right? Most of us are not independently wealthy. From cringing at the pump, getting eye-popping checks at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us all where it hurts, right? It's getting us everywhere. I just spent 100-something bucks at a restaurant, you know, which 2-3 years ago would have been $70, and it really hurts. That's why Upside was started. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, dines out, i.e. all of us, right? With every purchase, you earn cash back thanks to Upside. It's an easy app to use. It's a no-brainer. Again, you just get money back for doing the things you always do in your regular life anyway. You know, get started. You download the free Upside app. Use my promo code LOCKED and get $5 or more cash back with your first purchase of $10 or more. So download the app for free. Use my promo code. We're going to give you $5 with your first $10 purchase, which is basically anything you're going to buy anyway. This is free cash. Claim an offer on whatever you're buying on Upside. Check into the business. Get paid. It's like earning cash back. Again, it's free money, right? And who here can't use free money? Upside users are earning more than $1 million every single week. That's why it has a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app. Use promo code LOCK to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Use promo code LOCKED. Want to thank everyone again for tuning in to Lockdown Badgers. I am so appreciative that we're continuing to build the community. If you want to, jump on the Discord. We're doing giveaways there. Last week was a James White autograph rookie card. This week is a gift card to Fanatics. I love everything that we're doing in the community. That's a reflection of the great people we've been able to have on the show. So much more than it is about me. And let's continue talking Washington State. Yeah, this is a big game. So let's go back to Washington State. Let's keep talking about their defense and kind of what else is around Cam Ward. We talked a lot about Cam Ward. Let's talk about their defense. So they have a couple really good pass rushers. Their front seven held Idaho to 1.8 yards per carry last week. Again, it's Idaho. You know, you can't take a lot from that, but they did stymie at least the Vandals. They do have a really good pass rush. That's coming back from last year. That's verified on last year. We're not just looking at this season for that, although they did have 7 sacks in week 1 against Idaho. But two really good players in Ron Stone Jr., Brennan Jackson, combined for 9 sacks last year. Both of them are back. Brennan Jackson is a first-team All-Pac-12 type performer. They each had a sack in opening week. So much like the secondary is going to get tested a little bit prior to Ohio State, this is a good test for the offensive line in the pass protection phase, right? You're going to have to tighten it up a little bit for Ohio State. We saw a couple missed blitz pickups in week 1. Miles Burkett in particular got nailed on one. Braylon Allen missed one that got Graham Mertz blindsided. Now you're going up against a legitimate pass rush. This is a legitimate above average FBS, you know, pass rush with a couple real dudes that had a lot of production last year. So they had not 7 sacks in the week 1. And a great opportunity that for those new look bookend tackles, right? Again, we talk about the cornerback shuffling around. Riley Malman, who we're going to talk about in a second, is the right tackle. Jack Nelson's the left tackle. Those are new spots for those two. Obviously, Malman, you know, didn't play last year, and Jack Nelson got shifted to left tackle. So, you know, great opportunity again for the offensive line to cut their teeth a little bit more, continue to settle in these roles. You know, again, the entire offensive line, Tyler Beach wasn't a guard last year. Furtney's a starter for the first time. You know, they need to settle into these roles before Ohio State. So another good opportunity there. We talked a little bit about Nakia Watson. I did want to talk about a quote he had. And this is a fun thing. A quick segue. Wisconsin players that leave Wisconsin generally have very good things to say about Wisconsin. I think that's a reflection of the culture that Paul Chryst built. We talked in the offseason about Reggie Pearson Jr., who the former Wisconsin hard-hitting safety out of Michigan. I'm trying to remember the town, but it doesn't matter. He went to Texas Tech, and he did an interview in the offseason, and I'm getting off a little off track here, but he said, yeah, Wisconsin's winning culture and this and that, and it was great, and everyone there was locked in, and you could tell he still has love for Wisconsin. So this is Nakia, and it's really cool to see. There's no sour grapes there. This is Nakia Watson talking before the game this week. I've been telling them, Watson said during a press conference, them boys referencing Wisconsin, them boys are coming downhill. They are strong. They are fast. They are powerful. We're going to have to bite down on our mouthpiece and come up with what we come up with. And you can just see the respect there and still the love he has for Wisconsin. And you can also, quite frankly, see he knows the type of defense that Wisconsin fields, right? And he's telling the guys on his team and he's telling the people in Pullman in Washington State, you know, they're big, physical, tough, and we're just going to have to do the best we can. So it's going to be fun to see, certainly fun to see Nakia Watson. It's a great quote that he has about how just big, physical, and tough the Badgers are. I think we all know that. But it's great to see former players continue to talk strongly about the culture and about the program. I think that's a really good sign. And it's something, again, that Paul Chryst gets an A+ at. He develops culture, character about as well as any coach in America, quite frankly. And it's one of the reasons he's pretty successful. All right, let's keep going. Offensive line, one of the big issues, and I was looking at some of the Washington State message boards, some of their comments, some of their reactions to the game. They came into the season with 3 new offensive linemen, okay? Having to replace a lot of players. And the offensive line, you know, wasn't great week 1 against Idaho. This is going to be a spot where we talked about Cam Ward holding the ball a little too long, dancing around potentially a little too long. This is a spot where Wisconsin could really dictate this game. I don't think Nakia Watson is going to have a ton of success. I don't think their ground game is going to have a ton of success. And they're going to be able to put Cam Ward in tough spots in third and longs. And quite frankly, that offensive line isn't very good. So Wisconsin, I expect Wisconsin to get a lot of pressure, force Cam Ward. I don't want to say into mistakes or turnovers, but they're going to force Cam Ward into positions of high stress, right? And in those positions, athletes in any sport, in those positions of high stress, start to make mistakes, start to break down, start to get hit, start to get fatigued. And over the course of four quarters, I think that's going to wear Cam Ward down. It's going to wear that Washington State offense down. So, that's kind of Washington State in a nutshell. Decent running backs. They have good weapons at receiver. Offense line is not very strong. Cam Ward, we talked about. On defense, it's really about the pass rush. They have a couple real dudes up front. And that's really Washington State in a nutshell. New head coach. So definitely going to be fun to watch. A good step up. Let's talk a little depth chart. And let's talk some of the news and notes that we saw this week on the depth chart. Riley Malman, we talked about him. He is listed as a starting right tackle. Obviously, he went down in week one. We weren't sure of the severity. Logan Brown came in. And honestly, Logan Brown looked fine. So you have, it was great to see Logan Brown come out there. Again, against much lesser competition. We get it, but hold his own, get some good reps. But Riley Malman's back in at right tackle as far as we know, which is an obviously fantastic sign. You'd hate to take those types of hits to the depth this early in the season, especially for a young player who needs those reps to grow. Alexander Smith is listed on the depth chart as well. Now, he was week one too, and he didn't play. So we don't know. Jim Leonard talked about him a little bit this week. He said they're getting close. He said that he hopes he'll get him out there. Alexander Smith is a big deal to the secondary because we've talked about how his presence allows everyone else to shift down more into their natural roles, right? And some of this is projection. We haven't actually seen Alexander Smith as a, I'm not going to say shutdown corner. Those are super rare. But we haven't actually seen Alexander Smith as a really good cornerback, right? He hasn't been in that role. But all the hype from inside the program, all of the coach speak from spring into the summer said he's the best cornerback on the roster. And at some point, it's kind of like, if you remember, it's not the same scenario, but if you remember Ryan Ramczyk transferring in and we hadn't seen him, but suddenly coaches started talking about him as he's like the next dude, just wait till you see him. They've kind of talked about Alexander Smith in that vein. And it's not that I expect Alexander Smith to make the jump up and become a first round cornerback, but there's a lot of hype there. There's a lot of smoke there that makes you think there's some fire underneath Smith. So getting him back out there is a big deal. And it'd be great to get him those reps against a pass happy team before we play Ohio State, right? So seeing him on the depth chart's great. I'm not going to buy it until we see him out there. And you certainly can't rush him with a hamstring thing. Ideally, he gets some reps before Ohio State, but we'll see. Cedric Dort is listed as the starting nickelback. He struggled last week, but Justin Clark is listed on the depth chart as the number two. Again, not sure if he'll play. Jim Leonard had a similar comment about we'll have to see, but it's good to see him there at least. That secondary depth is going to be tested and it's going to be needed, not just this week, but in the coming weeks. And then we talked about ESPN FBI. Oh, we talked about Preston Zachman and Kamoi Latu. Hunter Waller's obviously out for a while. We don't have the exact details of it, but when a football coach says it's going to be a while, it's going to be a while, which it stinks, right? There's no silver lining, says, but there's nothing good that comes out of one of your star young in-state players getting hurt in the first game of the season. And everyone's been so jazzed up to see Waller. He's an incredible playmaker. However, Preston Zachman and Kamoi Latu both look good. They both looked apart in week one. Certainly that depth at safety is better than it's been in a while. And, they're going to play a lot. So Kamoi Latu, Preston Zachman are listed as kind of the two starters in Waller's place. Personally, I thought Latu looked really good, fast, physical. He plays with a level of aggression. When we had John Garcia on talking about that transfer, Latu in the offseason, he said Latu is just a headhunter. Like he'll, games he had against USC last year in the Pac-12 where he had like 11 tackles. Just a really physical presence back there that can move. What a big transfer, right? Can we talk again about how this coaching staff knocked the transfer portal out of the park last year with the possible addition that they could have used a quarterback, but they knocked it out of the park, and Latu looks like an impact addition at a spot that quite frankly they really needed right now. So those are some of the depth chart additions and thoughts that caught my eye. Coming up, we're going to talk about the line. How would you bet this game? Do you think you'll go over under? And a couple of the key Badgers that need to really either continue showing out or play a little bit better in this game against Washington State. We're going to talk about that coming up next on Locked On Badgers. Hey, thank you everybody for tuning in to Locked On Badgers. Want to continue to really say thanks for helping build the community and just for everything y'all do. I really do appreciate it for all the comments. Let me know in the show below if you think this is a good matchup, if you're excited to play Cam Ward, what you think of the secondary, and we'll just keep talking about it. So the line on this game, the Badgers opened as a 17-point favorite. That's a good line, honestly. So week one, the Badgers were at about a 37-point favorite. They won 38-0. Again, Vegas is very sharp at times. The over-under for this game is 46.5. So let me know below, Badgers 17-point favorite, over-under 46.5, where you would go. I think the Badgers cover that, but I don't think it's a blowout. I think the Badgers, when you look at offensive line issues for Washington State, I think they're going to get put in a lot of tough spots. I think they're going to have difficulties keeping Cam Ward upright. And this is going to be far and away the best defense Cam Ward has ever faced. He's going to be going up against Jim Leonard, a secondary that's pretty veteran, and a really good pass rush that I think is going to make Washington State one-dimensional. That's just going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. And on the other side, I think Wisconsin's just going to lean on the Cougs. They're not going to let their pass rush really get going. So I definitely think the Badgers are going to cover this. I could see kind of a 35-10 type game, you know, somewhere in there that puts it at the 45. The over-under is 46.5. So I think both those lines are pretty good. I feel better about betting the Wisconsin to cover the 17 than I do betting the over-under on 46.5. I think that's right about where this game is going to end up. And again, when the Badgers get up towards the end, they're going to just kind of take the ball, put it in the closet, and lean on the game clock. So don't expect a lot of late scores. I don't think, the Washington State team is going to – there's probably going to be some moments in that first half where Wisconsin can't get off the field, right, because Cam Ward is completing a bevy of 7-yard slants and 3-yard outs and then a 12-yard seam and then a 2-yard scramble followed by a 5-yard smoke route. But the Badgers are going to do enough to put him in bad spots. He's going to make a couple mistakes, and I definitely see the Badgers covering that spread and keeping it right around 35-10 would be my ideal kind of thought there. Who needs to step up in this game? I want to see, and I talked about this last week. I thought it was one of the weaker spots, and I had some interesting comments, people that disagreed with me, which I really appreciate. So again, let me know in the comments if you disagree or if you think someone else needs to step up in this game. I need to see the offensive line bully a little bit more. I don't think that was a dominant run performance last week against a team that, quite frankly, shouldn't be on the field with Wisconsin, right? You had that incredible Braylon Allen 96-yard run, which a lot of that was great blocking. Our friend of the show, Dylan Graff, put a great clip up on Twitter of Tippmann just burying somebody, putting him in the dirt to help create that hole. But a lot of that was also Braylon Allen being Braylon Allen, right? And if you take that 96-yarder, that chunk play away, the rest of the ground game was kind of pedestrian, and there weren't a lot of 12-yard gashes. There weren't a lot of 7-8-yard gashes. And quite frankly, there were a couple no gainers that, Illinois State was able to get some penetration. They were able to stalemate this new-look offense line. I would like them to step up in this game. I would like them to really bully Washington State around, create some caverns to run through, right? And by the third or fourth quarter, you really see Washington State on skates. So I think that's one of the big ones. And I think the other one's secondary. I think the secondary has to step up, particularly that second, third, fourth cornerback spot, which all of them are going to see the field this game. They're going to play a bunch of corners against Washington State because Washington State's going to spread everybody out, right? We need to see a better game from Cedric Dort. I'm not sure if Justin Clark's going to play, but quite frankly, we need to see a better game from Jay Shaw. Shaw had some bad moments in week one. So I think that secondary needs to step up. Communication is going to be critical for the safeties, right? Torchio and a couple new look guys, whether it's Latu, whether it's Preston Zachman. We saw Austin Brown get some reps. Whoever that is, Titus Toler got some reps in week one. That communication is going to be critical because Wohler's gone and you're playing a team that's going to try to spread you out and put you on islands. So I think for me, it's the secondary and it's the offensive line that need to step up this week. And the one thing that we want to see continue going is Graham Mertz. And the best part about Graham Mertz week one was decision making. That's all I want to see going forward, right? That's it. That is the absolute minimum of what I want to see from Graham Mertz. Continue the great decision-making, right? No turnovers, no fumbles. Run out of bounds when you have to. Don't force the ball. Because if he's doing that, everything is going to click into place. And this is going to be an incredibly tough team for everyone outside of like maybe an Ohio State to be. Because Mertz making smart plays is going to just put so much pressure on defenses. And that's what we got. A couple big keys again in this game. Control the Washington State pass rush. Pressure Cam Ward. Secondary needs to step up. Offensive line needs to get back to bully ball. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. A bunch more content coming up. We're going to continue talking Washington State tomorrow. That's coming at you. A couple more recruiting interviews lined up if you like that. John Garcia should be back on next week. So lots of content coming up. We're also going to do some basketball stuff. I don't think I forgot about that. I'm a hoop head. I love Badgers basketball. I have to do a better job of getting that out to y'all. If you like the show, please leave a like, listen, subscribe. All that stuff really does help. Join our Discord. We're doing giveaways every week on that as we continue to build the Badger community. And with that, go ahead and listen to, and as you listen to this, go ahead and listen to the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, 8-episode extravaganza. Get you ready for the NFL season. It's almost here. Local team experts, NFL insiders on the Locked On Podcast Network. Search for Ultimate Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.